two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And then over in Luke chapter 5 and verse 5, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, I want to talk to you tonight about this matter of the nets and for a few minutes, and hope that God will give us a challenge tonight. Something about nets. Most of the fishing in that day was done with nets. They didn't know anything about rods and reels. It was all done with nets, big, heavy nets. And those nets were big old heavy things that they would throw. They would have smaller nets that they would stand on the shore and the bank of the ocean or the sea, and one man could throw that net out, and he would drag it back for a smaller catch of fish. But then they had the bigger nets that he took. They would put between two or more boats. They would spread it out real wide, and then they would let it down and let the fish swim into it. Now, that's the way that they got their fish. There was, they did that. But if their nets got torn, it meant a loss of income. And their labor was in vain if they were out there trying to do that. But in one place of the Word of God, the Bible said that Jesus came by and that the disciples were out of the boat washing their nets. Then again in the place it said that they were mending their nets. And either way, both of them were out of their boats, and they were not, and it was necessary that they cleaned their nets. And you know, our Lord was passed by that day, and he saw them. And in chapter 5 of Matthew, or Luke rather, in verse 2, it said they were washing their nets. They were cleaning them. They were getting all the seaweeds out of it, getting any sticks or any rocks or anything that had got in there that shouldn't be, so that they could catch fish. Those nets were made to catch fish. And so we notice that tonight, and here they came, and some things about nets. First of all, I want you to see. First of all, nets cannot throw themselves. Cannot throw themselves. They have to, somebody has to throw them. And Jesus compared the gospel to a net. In Matthew especially, he compared the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, to a net. In Matthew chapter 13, he refers to the gospel and getting all manner. And so a net cannot throw himself. The gospel does not throw itself. The gospel must be delivered. Our Lord could make the whole world get saved at one time if he wanted to, but he's not chosen to do it that way. He chose whosoever will. Let him come. God doesn't want anybody. Hey, if anybody was made to go to heaven against their will, they'd be miserable. And they'd be committing suicide and trying to jump in the river of life and drown herself. God don't want nobody in heaven that didn't want to be there. And so he has chosen that by the foolishness of preaching, that men would be saved. That the gospel message will be delivered by a man that has been called to preach the word of God, to give the plan of salvation, and that he sent the Holy Spirit to give witness to that message, and he speaks to the heart of that individual that what that preacher is saying to them is right, and if that individual humble their heart and call on the Lord, then they can be saved. He gives that person that'll come to him saving faith. And so when a preacher gets up to preach, he's casting the gospel net. When you witness to somebody, when the Holy Ghost of God directs you to witness to somebody about Jesus, and you are presenting the gospel to them, you're casting the gospel net. And so notice that tonight, but a net cannot throw itself. And so we have a responsibility as a Christian. We have a responsibility as a church to share the gospel with this world. And the Bible said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that would be. There's not a whole lot of preaching goes on today, folks. I mean, it's got down to an essay science. It's got down to a science, you know, of just talking it out. And I understand that sometimes, but preaching and getting up and screaming and hollering and spitting all over the first five rows, that's about a thing in the past in most places. And I, you know, but a net cannot throw itself. But then the net cannot retrieve itself. Once that net is thrown out there, those disciples and those fishermen have to bring it back in. And so we have a responsibility to throw out the gospel net, to give the gospel. Somebody said nobody has the right to hear the gospel twice. Well, everybody's heard it once. You think about that. One missionary, they was asking him why he was going to the mission field. And he said, the gospel came to me on its way to somebody else, and I dare not stop it. Amen? And so we had that tonight. But nets had to be pulled in. You had to share the gospel, and then there's a time that you press for a decision. Now, you can't make people be saved. And I know a lot of folk would have been turned off from getting saved because somebody did not understand the proper way to witness. And there's a lot of folk like that. I mean, they just don't know when to shut up. And I mean, the Holy Spirit of God, folk, must convict that person's heart. And if the Holy Ghost doesn't convict, and if the Holy Ghost isn't dealing with them, you're wasting your breath. And you're wasting your time, and you'll do more damage to that person than you will anything. But if you wait, if you'll be directed by the Holy Spirit, and let the Holy Spirit tell you when to speak and how much to speak and what to speak, it'll get the job done. And that person may not get saved when you witness to them, but it'll leave the door open. It'll leave the door open for the next person that'll come behind you to witness to that person and leave their heart open to receive the gospel. They cannot throw themselves. They cannot retrieve themselves. But notice this tonight. And here's the message. A net must be maintained. It must be kept in good condition. And it must be kept clean. And our testimony. And so our life tonight, let me put it this way. Our life is a net. Our life is what we use. And our life is what the Lord uses and what He chooses to use. Our testimony, our influence, our walk before others. That's what He chooses to use to bring people to Himself. I maintain, and I believe this with all my heart, and I've seen it across the years. You've got to win people to yourself before you can ever win them to Jesus. Amen. Hey, listen, if that person doesn't believe you love them, you're wasting your breath trying to talk to them. If they believe you're trying to talk down to them or trying to make brownie points and try to make yourself look good by talking to them, they're going to turn you off and they're going to know it later. But a person who is led by the Holy Spirit of God to speak to heart and will speak to them out of love and out of compassion and out of respect for that soul, you'll find that they'll get the job done. Amen. So nets have to be maintained. They must be cleaned and so forth. Matthew 4:21, the Bible said they were mending their nets. The word mend means to strengthen and to perfect in order to make complete. In other words, had to tie it back. There's gaping holes in that net. And it gets torn apart. And it must be mended. It must be brought to get back together. So our need tonight and our position and our responsibility is that we would keep our nets clean and that we would keep them in good mending condition so that nothing, would there be no gaping holes before the devil has shot gaping holes in our net, that we'd go before the God in prayer and supplication and make to it see that our nets are complete and as a church to see that our net is complete, to see that we keep our net in this church in good mended condition and keep it clean, keep our testimonies clean, our lives clean, and keep our lives in condition where that God can use us so that the catch and the harvest of souls would not slip through us tonight. As I said, a net that's torn, it means loss of income. The fish could escape through that, and those men, that was their livelihood. That was what they were called to do. That was their responsibility. That was their occupation. And you and I who are saved are not saved just to shout and forget about everybody else. Our job is to rejoice in our own salvation, but to make it surreal to a world around us that they want some of the same thing. Amen. So I want you to look at it tonight. There's two ways that we mend our nets spiritually. Number one, tonight we do it by the threads of grace. I'm thankful for the grace of God. I'm thankful that God gives us the grace to live for Him. God gives us the grace to live for Him. And God gives us the grace to get right when we get wrong. And through the grace of God, we live by the grace of God. And so we mend our nets by the threads of grace. And we mend our nets by the terms of obedience. God shows us when we've got a hole in the net, and the Holy Spirit directs us and shows us a part of our life, a part of our testimony that's wrong. He'll give us the grace and He'll give us the means to get it right. Amen. I heard about a preacher who the community had been praying for a man for a long time. And finally, one Sunday morning, he come forward and gave his heart to God. And the preacher, you know, was talking to him and introducing him to the congregation. And he called him a name and he said, "We prayed for you for a long time. And then just about didn't know if you'd ever get saved or not, but we kept praying for you." And I want to know what was it in the message that I preached this morning that got to your heart? And he said, "Preacher, I don't remember hardly anything you preached this morning." He said, "In fact, I can't really say it was your message." But he called out one of the ladies in the church by name and said it was the life that she's lived. The life that I saw her live, and he said, "I've watched her life and I know she's real." And he said, "I believe she loved me." And he said, "I know she's prayed for me." And it was the life she lived that backed up what she said that I thought, well, if it's that real to her, it'll be that real to me. Yeah. And so there's somebody watching you. You say, "Well, I don't want them to watch me." They're going to, whether you want them to or not. They're going to watch you. They're going to see the good. They're going to see the bad. They're going to see you when you're at your best. They're going to see you when you're at your worst. And God help us tonight to put our, as we say, our best foot forward. But I want you to notice tonight that we can, there's two things that can happen to a net. It can become unraveled. And it can, those nets that they'd used to fish, they'd use them again and again and again and did not repair them. Till after a while, the threads that held them to the rest of the net come unraveled. And folk, tonight we need, and in our Christian walk with the Lord, we need to say, make sure that we're not coming unraveled. We need to make sure that we're not thinning out, that our testimony's not worn thin, that our walk's not worn thin, that our vision's not worn thin, that our compassion hasn't worn thin. And then notice tonight they can come unconnected. You see, the strength of that net was its connection to the rest of the net. Our strength as a church is by our connection to each other. Amen. And then by all of our connection to God. That's what keeps the net strong. That's exactly what attracts people to the gospel. You see, this whole world out there, that they've saw enough. They've saw how the world treats each other. They've saw how the world does. They saw how cold-hearted even the people they run with are. And they saw how they can turn their backs on each other in a whiff. But when they get around the love of God, they don't know how to handle it, but they know there's something real about it. And listen to me, don't, when a person walks into this building that doesn't know the Lord, they know whether or not the love of God's here. They can sense that. They can sense that. They can tell if there's anything wrong. Hey, you say they don't know. Oh, don't kid yourself. Hey, listen to me. They know. When they can feel the same thing in a church that they can feel out in the world and the worldly things, and they come in and they sense the same thing. Hey, they don't see God. And that's why that when we come to church, we need to come to church in the love of God. We need to come to church with compassion. We need to come to church and greet one another and be in fellowship with one another and keep the net strong so that when somebody comes in among us that's not saved and the gospel's preached, that they're caught. Got in the net. Got in. That's how come you got in. That's how come you got in. Amen. But I want you to notice tonight, here's the message, and I ain't gonna be long. But what is it? What is it that can tear the net? What is it that can get our nets in bad shape? Number one, doubt. Jesus in Luke chapter 5 was walking by the sea, and the disciples had been toiling all night and hadn't caught a thing. And Jesus said, "Children, have you any meat?" And they said, and Peter called out and said, and you could tell he's a little aggravated and he's vexed and he's hungry and he's cold and he's sleepy. And he said, "We've toiled all night and ain't caught a thing." Jesus just said, "Well, cast your net on the right side of the ship and you'll find." Now, these fellows, that didn't ring too well with them. These fellows are professional fishermen. Amen. You ever met any professional Christians? I mean, they had it all up here. They knew how to do it. They knew how it was supposed to go. They knew how. They had the know-how. They had that. But notice what he said. He said, cast on the right side of the ship. Peter and those fellows, I could see them looking at each other and thinking. But just at the word. And Peter said, Lord, we've called all night. Now we know these waters. We know where the fish are. We know where we've caught the biggest catch before. And it sure ain't where you told us. Nevertheless. Now Jesus told them, he said, let down your nets, plural. Let down your nets for a drought. He told them what they're going to get. He said, let down your nets for a drought. 153, I believe, was a drought. Let down your nets for a drought. Peter said, we've pulled all night, and nevertheless, at thy word, because you said so, we'll let down the net. Half obedience. Just halfway. Well, Lord, we'll humor you. We'll show you a little respect. And they let down one net, and they got so many fish in there, it started breaking. They started losing what they caught. They could have salvaged if they had just listened to the Lord. They wouldn't have lost anything. They'd have gained. But they started, and they got so many fish in the net, they had to call for their partners in the ship. Hey, that's the good thing about this thing. When you hear about God blessing the church, and you hear about souls getting saved over there, don't get envious of them. Thank God, listen to me, when God starts blessing the church, it's going to run over. And we're all going to benefit from it. Amen. Oh, listen, and notice this, but our doubt, God telling us to do something as a Christian. God said, I want you to do this and I'll bless it. And we doubt. God tells the church, do something, do this and I'll bless you. And we start doubting, and at that very moment that we start doubting and start reneging on what God told us to do, that's when the net starts coming unraveled. And we'll lose what we could have had. The nets need to be mended. We need to take time to come out of the ship and mend our nets. We have to mend the net in our own Christian life. We have to mend the net and wash our nets and let the grace of God wash us clean. Get us right again. Get us reconnected to the grace of God and what God to the will of God and what God wants us to do. Not only will doubt unravel our nets, but delay. We spend the time we spend reasoning and arguing with God, we could be getting the catch. Yeah, right. You heard about them fellows who went fishing and one guy put his hook and line in the water, and the other fellow he started lighting dynamite sticks, throwing them in the lake. And I mean, in a minute, Lord, here come the awfulest bunch of fish up. And he kept doing that, and that fellow told him, he said, I don't think you ought to do that. That's dangerous. That ain't the way I fish. The old boy just looked over at him, lit another stick of dynamite and handed it to him, said, are you going to fuss or are you going to fish? Amen. Hey, listen to me tonight. Somebody may not do it the way I do it, but if they're catching the fish, glory to God, more power to them. Amen. Amen. So notice that tonight. Doubt and delay. Spending time arguing with God. Have you ever spent time arguing with God or wasted time arguing with God? God said, this way, here's what I want you to do. This way, do it. And spend time trying to reason with God about why it shouldn't be done that way. And then not only doubts and delays, but defilement will muddy the net. Getting connected and getting sin in our life and not getting it out, getting disobedience in our life and not talking, not praying and not getting it right with the Lord and not confessing our sins to Him. That'll muddy the net. That'll defilement will get us in trouble and our nets won't work like they ought to. And then disobedience, just plain old not doing anything. Peter, after the had denied the Lord. And after the crucifixion, and they'd taken the Lord's burden, Peter told the other disciples, he said, I'm going fishing. I'm going back to where I come from. To heck with this. I don't have to put up with this. I don't have to go through this. I'm going back fishing. And notice the sad part about it. They said, we're going with you. These are men that have been empowered and commissioned by God to do the works that he did, to perform miracles. They had that, in, they were empowered to do that. They were commissioned to do that. And Peter said, I'm going, and all it takes is one to rebel. Yeah. All it takes is for one to stand up and say, I'm just going to quit. And I guarantee you'll have a bunch of parrots with you. They're going to quit too. I'm going to quit. Well, I'll quit too. Well, I'm just going to quit. And after a while, the nets are left empty. The nets are left unhanded. And Peter said, I'm going fishing. Listen to me. You never get out of the will of God unless you take somebody with you. Now you get that. It may be your children. It may be a weak Christian. But you never get out of the will of God without you take somebody with you. You influence somebody to go with you. You do what God's not leading you to do, and you're going to, somebody's going to follow you, and you're going to get them out of the will of God. Because everybody has got influence for good or evil over somebody else. And not only disobedience, but division. Division. Luke chapter 5, look at verse 7. And when they got that great bunch of fish enclosed, verse 7, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. You see, what if them boys said, well, we don't want them to get no credit. We want credit for all of this. What if they said, hey, boys, don't act like we got anything. We don't want them to know where the fish are. Amen. But they hearkened unto their other partners. They said, hey, fellas, come over here and help us. They're tugging on that net and they're about to lose it. And fish are flopping around everywhere. And they're telling their other partners, come over here and get a hold of this net. And they worked together and saved the catch. That's why you'll hear me so often, sometimes, on Sunday morning, say, let's pray for our sister churches. A sister church is a church that's preaching the same gospel we preach. They may keep house different, we do, and a lot of things, but if they're preaching the gospel and they love the Lord and they're letting the Holy Spirit lead them and their desires to win souls and to help men and women, hey, they're our sister church. And we need to pray for them. And if God blesses them, hey, if Vernon Heights gets blessed, Homeland will get blessed. If Homeland gets blessed, Reservoir Road can get blessed. Sullivan Baptist Church can get blessed. But division will keep the nets unraveling all the time. Unraveling all the time. Amen. Had a man call me this week and was talking. Didn't talk very long, but he said, we need to pray for each other. And oh, pray for, listen to me. You say, yeah, but it's not happening in our church. Hey, folk, you think God's going to let it happen in our church if we're jealous of what's going on at another church? It ain't going to work. It won't. God can't bless that. God can't bless a selfish attitude. But let's keep the nets mended. The Bible said they were washing their nets and they were mending their nets. And I'll never forget to... One Sunday morning, I'd preached a message on keeping the ashes. Preached the message for the ashes. The priest would keep the ashes out from the brazen altar so that the fire could burn bright. And I preached that morning. And that night, we'd come back to church. And there was a lady, we'd call on her every once in a while to sing. And I said, come on, sing for us. And she got up. And before she sung, she said, I went home this morning and after he preached and on cleaning out the ashes. And she said, I went into the house and she said, God spoke to my heart. She said, I got dinner on the table for the rest of them. And I called them to the table while they was eating. I went in the bedroom and shut the door and cleaned out some of them thar ashes, she said. Amen. Hey, if we want the fire to burn bright, we're going to have to keep the ashes cleaned out. Just whatever the Holy Ghost of God puts his hand on in our life and says, that won't help you. If we'll confess it, turn it over to him. He'll get rid of it. Amen. And keep our nets clean. Keep our nets in good repair. And cooperate with the Holy Ghost. Do what he tells us to do. Amen. Amen. Well, God wants to bless us, church. God wants to bless us. It's his will. It's his will to bless. And it's his will that we grow. It's his will that we see souls saved. And I praise the Lord for that this morning. Well, glad you came tonight. I want us to pray, keep praying, asking the Lord to bless and asking God to lead us and guide us. Alan will pray at 5, pray at 6, pray at 7, 8. We'll pray at 9, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock every day, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3. We'll pray at 3, 3, all right, 4, Jim, 5, 5 o'clock. We'll pray at 5, 5 o'clock, all right, 6, 7, 7, 8 o'clock. Who'll pray at 8 o'clock every day? 8 o'clock every day. All right, 8, Randy, 9, right back there, 10, 11. Who'll pray at midnight? Pray at midnight. All righty, good deal. Amen. All right, that'll keep us from 5 in the morning till midnight every day around the clock. And if you wake up during the night, just take it as a prompter for the Lord. He wants you to pray. Yeah. Amen. Just say, well, now, Lord, if J.D. kept it going, I'd probably had to raise my hand for 3 o'clock in the morning. Amen. But folk, it works. It works. Amen. It works. I tell you what I want us to do. I want us to come around the altar tonight and pray together before we leave. We'll be dismissed. And I want us, everybody at will, let's just fill the altar tonight and just pray tonight and ask God to help us as a church. Pray for me. I need your prayers. I'm helpless without the Lord. And just pray that God will move on us and help us as a church, and maybe we have a vision. And pray for each other, pray for our deacons, pray for our Sunday school teachers, our WANA leaders, our youth. Don and Jody's son-in-law is flying out from Texas to Afghanistan tonight, and they asked that we pray for him because he's going to a dangerous part of that country over tonight. And they want us to pray for him. I don't know if he's been saved or not. I just don't know. I think at one time he said he had. I'm not sure about it, but continue to pray for him. Pray for each other. Just look around where you're kneeling tonight and look at the person beside of you and just ask the Lord to save, to bless them and help them and give them grace. And how many of you got a very special request on your heart tonight? Just sure we have. Sure, that's all of us tonight. Don't you know God knows that? God sees that, and he'll help us tonight. Brother Bill Winters, you lead us as we pray. Our Father, as we come to you tonight, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to come to you in prayer. Thank you, dear Lord, that we can call you our Heavenly Father, God, that you call us your child. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege to be in church today, God, to hear the songs of Zion, to fellowship with the saints, God, to feel the warmth of your love and your Holy Spirit. God, being able to stand today, Lord, thank you for letting me preach. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for love and mercy that you've extended to us down through the ages of time. Lord, we come tonight to praise you, to exalt you. You are God. Besides you, there is no other. We come to you tonight, Lord, to ask that you would cleanse us, God, from sin, God, from everything in our life, in our heart, in our spirit. God, any envy and strife and malice and jealousy. God, just cleanse us of all of it tonight. And God, forgive us. And God, fill us in that spot, Lord, in that emptiness, Lord, now with the Holy Spirit of God. We need thee tonight, Father. We're helpless, Lord, within ourselves. We need you, dear Lord. And God, I come tonight to thank you for our church, to thank you for our people, to thank you, dear Lord, tonight. God, for the opportunity, Lord, to be in church again with them tonight. Lord, hands raised all around this altar, special requests, special burdens. God, you know every need about it. Lord, you know all about us, Lord, tonight. You know what's on our heart. You know the strength, the struggles, Lord, that we have. And you know the burden, God, and it's on each heart tonight. And Father, I pray that you would undertake. And God, I pray that you would just give the peace that you're and knowledge, Lord, that you're on hand. And God, that you're working, God, in that situation tonight. God, you're able. You are God. Besides you, there is no other. God, bless us tonight. Encourage our strength, Lord. Encourage us, Lord. Encourage our faith. God, may we keep our nets clean, and may we keep our nets, Lord, mended, Lord, through the grace of God, Lord, that we could be used of thee and not be an unprofitable servant. Thank you, Father, tonight for love and mercy. Lord Jesus, God, heal our sick people, Lord. We've got people that are sick, and God, pray for them. Amen. Amen. God bless you, folk. Have a good week. I love you. See you Wednesday night.